Well, hi folks, and welcome to my home study. Thanks also for having me in your living room or garden shed or wherever it is you happen to be listening from. This Palm Sunday, we find ourselves in a series of sermons on the Psalms, Psalms 113 to 118. They're sometimes called the Egyptian Hallel or Praise Psalms. And these psalms were sung by Jesus with his disciples one Thursday night, the night before the first Good Friday. And this morning we've come to the shortest one, the shortest psalm of all. In fact, the shortest chapter in the whole Bible. But though short, we'll be amazed by how much we discover together in it, I think. It's Psalm 111. Seven. Allow me to pray and then to read it. Our gracious Father, we thank you so much that we can meet virtually, and we thank you so much for your word. And we pray that as we look at this psalm, it would cause us to praise you. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So then, Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now, many are saying that the way to get through this time of lockdown is to sing. Right from the start of it all, of course, we've all been singing Happy Birthday twice through as we've washed our hands. And then there was the Italian opera singer singing Nessun Dorma from his balcony. Wasn't that fantastic? And this week we've had Jason Donovan singing Too Many Broken Hearts. And even Alistair Campbell playing the bagpipes. I'm not entirely sure what that's all about. But many are now struggling. Though plenty have enjoyed the change of pace and routine and pattern of life, now the novelty is wearing off somewhat, and we're beginning to crave the return to normality. But it won't be for a while yet. And singing will help us get through this. Now, if Jason doesn't put a song in your heart, surely some of the Christian songs and hymns that have been shared around online will be a real help. But I think Psalm 117 can actually be a bigger help to us. After all, it helped Jesus to face the cross. Psalm 117 helped him face the deepest distress of all. It helped the Son of God ascend Calvary's hill and endure death and darkness and destruction in the place of sinners. If it can help him do that, it can help us. But there's a problem. See, we think it's easy peasy to sing Psalm 117, but it's not easy. I'm not talking about finding a tune. I'm talking about the difficulty of singing this song with conviction. I mean, that's difficult, and I'll tell you why it's difficult. There are two reasons. It's contentious. Praise the Lord, all you nations, verse 1. Extol him, all you peoples. Now, you won't find this being sung at a multi-faith service anytime soon. It expresses the conviction that there's one God and only one God for the whole world. It's contentious. And it's ridiculous, or at least it feels like it is. Despite this virus, which is really beyond human control, there are precious few signs that the nations are turning to God even now. How many world leaders have called us to seek the Lord's mercy? There are probably some, but none that I'm aware of. This week I came across a deal from the publisher Hodder. In response to the global emergency, they've made David Suchet's excellent reading of the NIV Bible free. You better hurry if you haven't got it yet. I think today may be the last opportunity. And on the site I discovered it, someone mocked. They wrote, not exactly sure how this is supposed to be a response to the global emergency. As if what God has to say is completely irrelevant. Now I trust that many will turn to the Lord at this time, but myriads won't turn to him. Even if the UK death toll hits the tens of thousands, myriads will continue to worship the same dead idols rather than turn to the living God. And for that reason too, Psalm 117 won't find many who are able to sing it with conviction. See, it's hard to sing "Praise the Lord, all you nations" with much conviction because it's so contentious. And because, frankly, the reality of the nations turning to the Lord just feels ridiculous. Now, we need help to sing this song, and we can find some. First of all, by asking, who is singing this song? And secondly, by asking, what is it that they're singing and wanting us to sing along with them? So let's start off by thinking about the singer. I don't know about you, but when the national anthem is sung, I'm one of those who just likes to belt it out. But you never see the monarchs singing the national anthem. The Queen never encourages us to raise our voices or puts a cupped hand to her ear. I can't hear you. And for good reason. But the Psalms are different. The King of Israel was supposed to lead the congregational singing. He was supposed to lead them into the presence of God to praise God. But it was hard, even for the best of them. Kings like David or Solomon, Hezekiah or Josiah. These were the good guys, and there were plenty of rotters. But even for them, it was hard to call the nations to praise the God of Israel. To them, it seemed like a big ask. I came across a story about Beethoven, the composer, and not the St. Bernard. When Beethoven launched his 16-string quartets in 1806, one of the violinists said that the new quartets were not music, while one of the cellists threw his music on the ground and stamped on it. Can you imagine? But Beethoven responded, "Oh, they're not for you. They're for a later age." And what was true for Beethoven's string quartets is true for Psalm 117. It was really intended not for any old king of Israel, but for the King of Israel, King Jesus. See, only he can truly lead his people with conviction. And we hear him singing this psalm on that first Maundy Thursday in the upper room as he leads his disciples, as he sings, knowing that it's Thursday and Friday is coming. His conviction comes from knowing that when he lays himself down on that altar, he will bear the sin of the world for people from every tribe and nation and people, Jew and Gentile, all who put their trust in him. His death will open a way into the presence of God for any who will come to him. For his death will be a substitution in the place of sinners. Sinners who will then join Jesus in praise for the sweetness of God's amazing grace. And we can't sing this song with conviction, but we know a man who can. He is the true singer of this psalm. And Psalm 117 on his lips facilitates our singing. Well, how? How is that possible? Well, to fully understand that, we need to come onto the second verse, which gives us the cause of praise as well as its content. Here's how we can make his song our own. What does Jesus sing about in this psalm? What is it that causes him to sing with such conviction? Look with me at verse 2. For great, great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Now the spotlight here highlights two of the Lord's perfections, his love and his faithfulness, and they sum up the Lord's character. And what they're doing here is picking up and expanding upon the language of Psalm 115, verse 1. We're seeing here that the Lord's love is great and his faithfulness endures. Great love. Now, with fewer meetings, I've taken the opportunity to re-watch the excellent Lord of the Rings trilogy. And in the first part, there's a scene when Frodo is being chased by the Ringwraiths, or Dark Riders. They come after him dressed all in black, with black hoods, riding black horses, and hell-bent on destroying poor Frodo. And they come to a stream, and it looks as though they've caught him, and it looks as though it's all over. But then the stream becomes a river, which becomes a torrent, which becomes this great tidal wave, which crashes in and sweeps away these enemies and leaves Frodo safe and sound. And that's the image behind that word great there in verse 2. Great doesn't simply mean big. Great doesn't even mean mighty. Great means the Lord's love is like a flood which sweeps away every enemy. As Jesus contemplates his imminent battle with sin and death, Psalm 117 strengthens him, because he knows that that same torrent of love that swept away Pharaoh and the Egyptians will sweep away the enemies that he faces, the enemies of sin and Satan and death and hell. You see, no one sung 117 with more conviction than Jesus did on that Maundy Thursday. And he calls us to sing that song with him. See, although our sin depresses us, and death bears its teeth at us, and the devil pursues us, and hell opens its jaws to consume us, in Christ we praise the Lord, because in Christ we have a torrent of protecting love that sweeps away our sin, that sweeps away death, that sweeps away Satan, and yes, sweeps away hell. The Apostle John wrote this: see what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Love unmatched. Love undeserved. Love unprecedented, great love, and enduring faithfulness. See, the Lord will never let his people go. He always protects us. He is our defender. His faithfulness towards us, towards you, well, it's a forever thing. And that is brilliant news, because I know, we know that we are no better than faithless Israel, faithless over and over, time and time again. But our God is forever faithful. He won't let anything separate us from his love. No sin, no virus, not even death itself. In Christ, his faithfulness never rests. It clings to us, it clings onto us, until John's vision in Revelation becomes a reality. John wrote this, listen, he said, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. It's a vision of what Jesus will bring about. Notice the multitude there from every nation and every people. Notice the palm branches in their hands. And notice most of all who is at the centre, the throne and the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ slain for us. See, there is a future of which Psalm 117 speaks, and in which Jesus is fully convinced, a time when the nations will join together, lifting their voices in praise. And the question for us all is, will you be part of that future? And the answer is yes, if you join this song. But only if you join this song. I rarely get to see live sport. The last time was when I went to a match at Twickenham, and I understand why it is that people go. They don't go for the view. If you want the view, you just watch it on the telly. People go for the atmosphere. And a big part of that atmosphere is the singing. It's fascinating to me how the songs start. They start with one person, which becomes a small group, and then eventually almost everyone is singing. And if you're on the winning side, it's "We are the champions," or it used to be "We're all going to Wembley," that sort of thing. King Jesus has started his victory song. And it's a song which is spreading around this world, and all nations and peoples are beginning to join this song. And the question is, have you joined in yet? And what's stopping you joining in? Why wouldn't you join in with this song? The alternative, well, it's to sing the songs of the nations who sing in praise of their useless idols, sports stars, economic systems, medical experts, things which can't ultimately protect or save you. But we sing to the praise of the living God. And today we call the nations to praise him. For we know that there is no security, no ultimate protection, apart from his great love and enduring faithfulness. One old commentator puts this so well. He writes that his great love is the fountain of all comfort, and his enduring faithfulness is the foundation of all hope. In Psalm 117, we have a song that can get us through this lockdown, through disease, and through death itself. So let's join Jesus singing, "Great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." Praise the Lord.